Twitter looking to restore its image after being battered in the court of public opinion by a hashtag boycott Twitter campaign, issuing tighter guidelines around online sexual harassment and abuse. According to the guidelines sent out in an internal memo, users who post non-consensual nudity will be immediately and permanently banned from the site.
Apple on pace for its worst day in more than 2 months. This comes on a report of order cuts to suppliers.
So the report comes from the Economic Daily News overnight, basically saying that Apple has cut orders for its chip suppliers for the November and December quarter relative to the iPhone 8, implying that sales for that iPhone 8 are weak. Question is whether or not this will affect the December numbers. Right now, the analysts are looking for 81 million units in December, 8% year-over-year revenue growth. It could get shifted forward, what that does to the stock.
Fed Chair Janet Yellen having a sit-down with President Trump Thursday, effectively interviewing to keep the job she has. The two, however, couldn't be more different. Yellen leads with the brain, while Trump is more focused on the heart.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Friday. It's October 20th, 2017, 5:11 in the morning. Glad you're here with us for another business day, another edition of The Opening Bell. We've got a lot to cover this morning. A little bit later in the program, you probably heard last week, Southwest announcing its new service to Hawaii. We'll talk about that with Rick Cini and also what Southwest is doing to sort of accomplish this with a new sort of jet. It's the new 737 from Boeing that's perhaps going to help make that possible. Rick Cini will be here in our second half of the show. And Paul Nolte is here today as well, and we'll have our regular Friday conversation with him. He's from Kingsview Asset Management. We'll talk about the economy and our portfolios, but first on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, we're watching markets and futures that are sort of pointing positive this morning. At least right now they are. It was a rough morning yesterday. If you recall, we were off 90, maybe even 100 points. It's sort of the opposite. This morning, Dow futures are positive by 92 points. S&P futures are up about 6. NASDAQ futures up about 11 points. Around the globe from overnight and early this morning, markets in Asia are generally positive, and markets in Europe this morning also generally positive, with the FTSE up almost a third. Same story with the DAX. And in France, the CAC up by about a quarter. Oil is trading at $50.75 a barrel, which is down about 1% or 54 cents. We're watching a couple of stories for you this morning. Britain's Theresa May says there is some way left to go in Brexit talks after a little apparent progress at an EU summit. This was happening early this morning in the UK and in Europe, having some trouble with Brexit there. Those details are still coming in after the speech and a news conference this morning by the British Prime Minister. The University of Chicago and the University of Illinois have formally announced a partnership that will bring faculty, researchers, and students together to work on innovation. The partnership will be part of the Illinois Innovation Network, a group of high-tech research and academic institutions, startups, and innovation-driven enterprises. They hope to put that together with a groundbreaking technology campus that might be in the South Loop. We will follow all of the business news, your money, throughout the morning right here on 720 WGN and news throughout this hour as well. So stay with us. It's Friday, and that means it's our regular Friday conversation with Paul Nolte, who's in the house this morning. Paul, good morning. Happy Friday.
Good morning, Steve. Happy Friday.
What did you see from this week that sticks out in your mind as being important?
You know, we've got the industrial production numbers, which were a little bit better than expected. And again, we're working through a lot of the hurricane-related data. And when we take a look at the industrial production, we're seeing, in general, on a year-over-year basis, a little bit weaker data. Housing has been a little bit on the weaker side as well. We're getting housing numbers again this morning. We had a series of them earlier. We're not replacing or building enough housing stock right now to absorb the household formation. Part of the reason why you're seeing housing prices move up as much as they are in a lot of metropolitan areas. So those are a couple. We're working our way through the various interviews of possible new Fed chairs. Janet Yellen was at the White House yesterday talking to President Trump as well. So we should have probably maybe even today, but certainly next week, some announcement on who the next Fed chair will be as well.
You know, on the calendar today, the National Association of Realtors has existing home sales. We'll also get state unemployment rates for September as well. You mentioned Janet Yellen there. She was at the White House yesterday for a meeting with President Trump.
She was. And, you know, and again, when we get all excited about what Trump is doing or saying, I'm of the opinion that let's wait until he actually decides something, because we've talked at length over the last year or so about the different things he said on the campaign trail, what he's done so far in office. But he tends to move around a lot as far as what he winds up doing versus what he says he might do. So I'm still holding out some modicum of hope that Janet Yellen does get reappointed, but I think the betting right now is on Powell that he'll get appointed. It seems to be the inside line.
Yeah, before we came on the broadcast, Paul and I were having a little discussion about that, and I was betting against Janet Yellen just because she was an Obama appointee. But you think there are some pretty good reasons why she would be reappointed.
Oh, she's done a very good job with the monetary policy to this point. And part of the reason why I think she has set the course the way she has is she's trying to set up the next Fed governor, at least, to continue shrinking the balance sheet, continuing with their policy of raising rates. She has generally been an easy money Fed chair, keeping interest rates at pretty low levels for a very long time, and some would argue much longer than they should have been. And certainly Trump is not opposed to very low interest rates. You know, it's certainly going to help with us paying our interest on the debt that we owe. And so that's the flip side of it, is that we start raising interest rates, we start paying a lot more in interest on the debt that we have.
Paul, hang on with us. We're going to continue our conversation with Paul Nolte of Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. He's a senior portfolio manager there, an SVP, and we will continue chatting right after we check traffic this morning at 5:17 here on the opening bell.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Stocks are expected to open mixed after a roller coaster 2 days where the Dow broke a record closing above 23,000 points and then turned to a sell-off on Thursday. Investors will be weighing a new round of data and corporate earnings reports on the last day of trading for the week. Tech stocks will be looking to make up for losses, Apple stock dipping to its lowest in a month. Meal kit maker Blue Apron announced it's cutting back, slashing hundreds of jobs at its corporate headquarters and at some of its warehouses. That after the company went public this year, competition from Amazon taking a bite out of profits. Speaking of Amazon, the bids are in from cities vying to become the second headquarters for the e-commerce giant. The final decision won't be announced, though, until after the new year. And the season of scary is proving to be a real treat for business. The National Retail Federation estimates Americans will spend a record $9.1 billion on everything Halloween. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Thanks for being here with us on our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. Paul Nolte is here with us from Kingsview Asset Management this morning. And Paul, this is week. Yesterday, as a matter of fact, was the anniversary of Black Monday. We've been talking about it all this week. Everybody has a different opinion about what happened and what the future risks are. But you have an interesting idea, too, about how it's never going to be the same, right? These crashes are never the same.
No, we've gone through, you could argue, four since 1987 with the flash crash, 2000 and 2007. 87 was portfolio insurance. So it was 87 was really more of a market event and not an economic one. 2000 was more of a technology event and not necessarily an economic one either. So if you look at GDP numbers, economic growth was still pretty reasonable. But 2007, very different story. The financial crisis went across the economy and we saw a huge contraction in growth. Flash crash again, a Wall Street phenomenon and not really impacting the economy. So we have to take a look at, and that follows with what the Fed's doing in shrinking their balance sheet. If they shrink their balance sheet, and many argue that Wall Street has been the biggest beneficiary of the quantitative easing when they built their balance sheet, that this could have an impact on Wall Street, and again, maybe not on the overall economy.
You were working then. I was alive then.
Anybody, but yes.
What kind of conversation do you have with clients after a day like that? Do you just, Joe, you need to sit down?
I mean, you know, it's an interesting story because I have a vivid memory of one of my clients who was very wealthy at the time, widowed. And she called up and said, well, you know, her first comment to me was, how are you doing?
Yeah, right.
I said, well, you're down 35-40% in your portfolio. It was just over $1 million. So she said, it's only about $600,000 right now. I said, I'm doing okay. I should be asking you that question. And she said, oh, don't worry. The market will come back. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
So I kid people. I was working on the first floor of a office building at the time, so I only twisted my ankle jumping out the window, so it wasn't too bad.
It was the first floor. And the market did come back, though.
It did, and that was it. It bottomed out about a month later, just after Thanksgiving, and then things went back to normal as people realized that, again, it was a Wall Street phenomenon. And what people forget is the market was actually up that year. It was up about 2% for the year. So it really just erased all of the gains that we saw up until that point.
It's hard to imagine ending a broadcast day and looking at the Dow and seeing it down 5,200 points is what 23% would be today.
Yes.
Is that even possible? It's hard to even imagine it.
It is hard to imagine it, but, you know, we're finding out the markets can do some very interesting things, the flash crash being one of them, where you go at 10 o'clock in the morning and the market's down 200 points and you blink and it's down 400. So there are some things in the marketplace things could happen. Never say never. Never say that this can never happen again. Because as we find out, the economy is an ever-evolving thing, as is Wall Street. And we're never quite sure until after the fact that, oh, this was really a stupid thing to be doing, but look at the impact. So it's one of the things that has everybody worried about low volatility, the fact that the market hasn't been moving a lot. Everybody is kind of worried that, well, gosh, that means the next big move is going to be on the downside, because that's what happens when people get very complacent. That may not necessarily be the case, but it's, again, something that we take a look at.
How are our portfolios doing here at the end of the week? Anything we need to change or anything you like?
You know, we've been really pounding the table on international, especially emerging markets. And there was a chart that I just looked at this morning that said the valuation of emerging markets are at levels that they were in 2008, 2009. Meanwhile, the U.S. valuations are significantly higher than they were in 2008 and 9. So if you're looking for value around the world, you want to buy something cheap, emerging markets, I think, is a good place to go. Mind you, it will be very volatile. Some days you're going to see, 1-2% moves in those markets. So it's not for the faint of heart, but with a diversified portfolio, it's a good add-on. And I think a part of the world that will be doing well over the next 3 to 5 years.
All right, Paul, we'll have a great weekend. Thanks for being here as always.
Absolutely. We'll see you next week.
All right, Paul Nolte, Senior Vice President, Senior Portfolio Manager at Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. You can find him and the rest of his team at kingsview.com.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInno.com. The economic benefits of landing Amazon's second headquarters are unquestionable. But for whichever city gets Amazon's HQ2, there will be at least one major downside. Your rent will go up. A new study examined how rent prices in 15 cities would be impacted by Amazon and found that Chicago's prices could jump more than 0.5%. Chicago, however, would be less impacted by Amazon than cities like Raleigh or Pittsburgh, the study found. The Apple Store on Chicago's riverfront officially opens to the public today. The 20,000-square-foot store, which cost about $27 million to build, features two grand staircases and views of the Chicago River. And Whole Foods CEO John Mackey is definitely a lover, not a fighter. The executive was in town this week for Chicago Ideas Week and pulled out every love metaphor in the book to describe his deal with Amazon, calling the relationship love at first sight and a whirlwind romance. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoInno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again. Thanks for being here with us on our Friday edition of the program. Southwest Airlines has announced new service to Hawaii starting next year. Rick Cini from faircompare.com is with us this morning from Dallas. Rick is the chairman and founder of CEO of Fair Compare. Rick, is this service to Hawaii by Southwest, is this the big deal that everybody's making it out to be?
Well, you know, it has a long history with Hawaii. Back, I can almost remember, gosh, it's been almost a decade ago when Southwest Airlines had a deal with ATA, which was a long defunct airline, which allowed people to go to Hawaii with sort of some connectivity with Southwest Airlines. They really couldn't fly 737 aircraft to Hawaii up until the last few years, about 4 or 5 years with the Model 800 of the 737. We see, for example, Alaska Airlines doing that a lot out of Seattle with that aircraft. But then they ran into some trouble with the flight attendants deciding how they wanted to do that. It's been sort of an ongoing issue, but it looks like officially everybody's on board now, and those flights will start to crank up sometime next year.
So what will Southwest service to Hawaii look like, do you think?
Yeah, I think those aircraft tend to be 180 to 200 seats. So you would think of a 737 only having 130 seats or so. So it's going to be a bit there. They have range now with some of the newer models so that you can actually go from the middle part of Midwest to the country. So it depends on how they decide to do that. Generally, that aircraft flies from the West Coast into Hawaii. What tends to happen is you don't see a lot of airlines putting a huge number of flights into Hawaii because a lot of those tickets end up being free tickets because that's what everybody saves their points up for. So you don't see a lot of capacity generated. We'll have to see what happens with Southwest. But in general, it should drop the price point on all airlines, which is usually a fairly expensive ticket, between $600 and $1,000 to Hawaii, depending what time of year you're flying.
So it's possible, but probably not likely that we'd be able to catch a direct flight from Chicago to Hawaii.
It is possible, and I know they've announced some potentially out of Dallas. So I wouldn't doubt that they could actually do that, and if they thought it was lucrative enough, they certainly would do that.
Well, that would be a pretty good deal. Let me ask you about travel plans to, let's say, Puerto Rico or the Virgin Islands, any of the places, even Ireland now after these storms have hit. What if we're holding tickets for vacations later in the year to those places?
Yeah, so most of those particular – if you have airline tickets, hotel reservations – there's a couple different things. There was waivers in place for a variety of those destinations so that you can change your ticket to other destination, for example. Some of them will actually let you refund. Each airline slightly different. For the most part, almost all but the ones you mentioned in the Caribbean are pretty much open for business, even for Thanksgiving. They have their resorts open much, much more quickly than I think most people expected. Some islands sort of didn't get touched by the hurricane at all, but everybody was worried about whether or not it would be a good experience. So it looks like everything is pretty much open, save for Puerto Rico and a few of the other islands that are there that are having some issues. And even there, they have some of the resorts that are starting to open up as well. So, it's going to be hit or miss there. The ticket prices were down pretty dramatically for the Caribbean. They're starting to perk up for the holiday as people start to realize that the hurricane didn't hit everything there. It was only a handful of islands.
If if somebody is out there hesitant to go, even after hearing that, would they have a hard time changing it in light of what's happening?
Well, generally, if you're outside the window, and it depends on the airline. So they were offering up that ability to change things several weeks sort of around the hurricane time frame. Then you're looking at $200 change fees in some cases if you haven't changed your ticket. You can always try to dispute the charge on your credit card if it's within a couple months billing cycle. Generally, airlines, if you actually get them on the phone, an actual human, and it's very difficult to do online, they will be pretty conservative about whether or not they allow you to do it. So sometimes you have to ask a couple different times, call a different times. If you can't get the right person, always ask for a supervisor in that case. Usually they're empowered to waive some of those penalties and fees.
Well, we talked about this last week, but I'm sure lots of people are still procrastinating when it comes to Thanksgiving. That's going to be kind of costly, isn't it?
Yeah, you're looking at a couple dollars a day starting this week. On the days that are not very popular to fly, which are the cheaper days, Tuesday, Saturday, for example, the day of Thanksgiving, the absolute cheapest, and then about $4 a day for the Wednesday before and the Sunday after. So if you procrastinate there for another 10 days, you're going to add $40 to $50 to your ticket. At the tail end of October, we're going to see those prices jump another rung where it's, sort of $4 for the cheaper days and $8 a day for those more expensive days. So procrastination is not your friend right now for at least Thanksgiving. You have a few more weeks and some more options around Christmas, which sort of spans the last 2 weeks in December and the first week in January, the holiday actually falling on a Monday this year. So, for example, Saturday and Wednesday and Tuesday itineraries tend to be a little bit more cheaper.
Well, aside from those holidays, is there any trips? Get us out of town here for someplace cheaply.
Yeah, so, you know, outside of the of Thanksgiving and those 3 weeks sort of at the tail end of December and the beginning of January, tons of really good deals out there. Southwest had a sale last week. I expect those same prices to keep continuing for the first couple weeks in December, the last 3 weeks in and really the first 3 weeks in November, the last 3 weeks in January, for example. But you can get out to the West Coast, for example, during that time frame for under $150 round trip, Florida under $200 round trip, out to the Northeast, New York, Washington, Boston, all under $170 round trip. And I even noticed some of the prices to Canadian cities, Montreal, Quebec, Vancouver, a variety of them are down about 6 or 7% as well in the mid 250 to 270 range.
All right, Rick, happy travels.
Hey, thanks, Steve.
Rick Cini is the founder and CEO of FairCompare.com based out of Dallas. You can follow him at Rick Cini on Twitter. And Twitter, follow FairCompare at FairCompare there as well.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures are pointing toward opening gains later on Wall Street. Now up about 92 points. S&P and NASDAQ futures are higher as well. Gold and silver are trading lower. Some news from our earnings reports. General Electric has posted a huge third quarter miss. Shares of GE this morning down about 3%. GE earned 29 cents per share from continuing operations on a non-GAAP basis. That's down about 9% from the same period from a year ago. Let's get the latest now on agriculture and commodities. And Orion Samuelson is here with us. Good morning, Orion.
Well, good morning to you. We're looking at the overnight wheat trade at the Chicago Board of Trade, and it looks like wheat will hit its fourth straight weekly decline. The problem for wheat continues. We've got too much wheat around the world, and so as a result, we're looking at those lower prices. The soybean market and the corn market sort of reacting to the harvest conditions, which continues to lag well behind the five-year average of harvest progress at this time of the year. So the market could be under some pressure today as we end the week.
What does harvest look like here in Illinois? How's it going?
It is going well, but again, it's well behind the five-year average. But I'd say of the three I's, as we call them, Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, Illinois is leading in percentage of crops harvested so far. The interesting thing is we normally harvest corn first and then take the soybeans, but because of the unusual weather in the spring and again in August and September, we're doing just the opposite because soybeans are getting too dry as far as moisture content. That means when that happens, the pods start cracking and the beans fall out on the ground. So they're taking the soybean harvest well ahead of the corn harvest. And the reason there is we had a widespread planting season because of rains in the spring, but then we hit July and August and September weather that was well above temperature averages and dry. And so as a result, farmers are just letting the corn crop sit in the ground and let Mother Nature dry down the moisture content. And so it's interesting to see soybean fields bare and harvested, but corn still standing. And the one thing you are concerned about this time of the year in the corn harvest is getting wind and rain in the later weeks. And that, of course, puts corn on the ground and it makes it a lot tougher to harvest. But it's kind of the opposite of what a normal year would be like in both planting in the spring and in harvest now.
From one of your reports earlier this week, I know you flew over some of the area and you were remarking, as I think a lot of people are noticing, that the fall colors really haven't popped up.
just haven't popped up. And people I've talked to, like Jim Fazell, who checks in with us frequently, and Greg Solier, our meteorologist on our TV show, that was the weather in August and September that once again dried everything out and brought temperatures. And as a result, well, I have a maple tree in my backyard that turns brilliant red every fall. This year it has turned kind of a dull brown and the leaves are falling. So they say probably the dry and hot weather in late summer is a factor. But yes, interesting, flying in on the approach to O'Hare day before yesterday. Normally the forest preserves are brilliant this time of the year. Didn't see any color at all. It was gray, I mean it was green or brown.
Orrin, what is the latest on NAFTA? I know there's been some concern that this might be falling apart, the discussions of it. What are you hearing from your sources on this?
Well, I'm hearing, and having gone through the WTO negotiations on the World Trade Agreement back in the 90s, this takes forever. Doing the trade deals and trade agreements, I've always said it's like watching paint dry. And when they came out with NAFTA officials saying, yeah, we'll have it completed by the end of the year because of elections in Mexico and all that, it hasn't happened, and I don't think it's going to happen for a while. We could get down to the point where it's bilateral rather than multinational in the trade agreements that are finally hammered out. So, again, it's a concern between industrial products and agricultural products, because NAFTA has been very good for farmers in Canada and the United States and Mexico. But some of the automotive companies and unions have not been happy with it at all. So we now definitely know that it won't be finished by the end of the year, and it'll go into next year, and I wouldn't be surprised if it would be another year or two down the line. It just is frustrating, I think, for all three countries involved.
What can we expect tomorrow on the morning show?
Well, you know, farmers have always been very generous people from the standpoint of helping hungry people. And one of the programs we've talked about a great deal is the Foods Resource Bank. And so we'll be talking to Norm Braxick tomorrow and discussing the anniversary of the of Foods Resource Bank. They're having a special harvest time get-together over at Climax, Michigan, at one of the farms that are involved. In what they do, they donate acres of land, and then at harvest time, the value of that crop is donated to Foods Resource Bank to help people around the world. So we'll do that, and of course, we always talk markets for the week on Saturday morning.
All right, Orrin, have a great weekend.
You too.
All right, Orrin Samuelson with us this morning. Make sure you listen to him and Max Armstrong, the morning show from 5 to 6 on WGN tomorrow morning. Now, the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for Friday, October 20th. Just a couple of things on the schedule today. The National Association of Realtors reports on existing home sales for September. The Labor Department will report on state unemployment rates for September. We'll get a snapshot of Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin at midday. And the National Economic Club annual members' dinner is today, where all the economists get together and talk about all things financial. Some of the things that could move the markets on this Friday, October 20th.